Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as I continue to broadcast live from Raleigh, North Carolina at the American Chamber of Commerce Executives Conference, a place I attend every year to help chamber executives celebrate chambers and by association, you and me, small business owners. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. It's a happy day anytime I get to I get to reintroduce you to our good friend Bill Brandt, one of the smartest guys I know, and he is he's the president of Development Specialists, and he is the guy who travels all over the country and around the world, taking the pulse. Part of what he does in his job as helping companies survive and thrive in this economy is to take the pulse of what's going on out there. And he's also very politically well connected politically, so he also often talks to us about those topics. So let's get him in here. Bill Brandt, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim, and good morning to everybody.
It's good to have you back, Bill. Bill, give us, as you often do, so as you do every time you're here, so well, give us your thoughts on kind of a tour of where you think we are from an economic standpoint.
Well, I think, I guess the short version, because everybody's looking for that these days, is I think we are near the bottom. I see people proclaiming the recession is over, and technically they might be right. But
President Obama did it yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I
said
I think,
that yesterday.
I think I don't know if he proclaimed it over, but he was trying to walk a fine line. I think I'm not sure it's over. I think technically we may have reached the bottom, but I think what we're about to see, as apart from what we've seen in the past, is no hockey stick recovery. That is a quick uptake and everything goes back to normal, and a year from now, we've forgotten all of this. I think we're going to bounce along at the bottom for a long time here, having everything to do with the deficit we're running, with the foreign exchange deficit we're running, with respect to the trade deficits, with the amount of money we're spending, and with the fact that, you know, I've talked to a lot of folks, and I'm in the baby boomer years, and Jim, I know that you are too, and you know, the cocktail party banter has been wandering about that, you know, our folks, you know, our age folks, let's say age 48 to about age 65, can you think of something that you just have to have right now, that you have to go to the store and have, you know, versus the PC of a number of years ago? There might be a gadget or two you want, but is there anything you really need to have? And in this current environment, with that answer being pretty much no, and with people being very conservative with their cash, spending is way down, and savings is up, and that's a good thing long-term for the American public. But at this exact moment, it's probably not the perfect thing. And so what I suspect is going to happen is we're going to look at yet a more difficult holiday selling season as we come up in the next 3 or 4 months. The back-to-school sale numbers that are rolling in, just beginning to, don't look great. I suspect it's going to be a little rugged. And I think the Christmas holiday season is going to be rugged, which means come February of next year, the last bits of shakeouts are still going to occur among further retailers, their distributors, some of their manufacturers, and on it goes. So winding this answer up, I think we're near the bottom, but I think we're going to stay kind of bouncing along the bottom for a couple of years. It's going to begin to turn around and grow back, but on an incremental basis. And there's a lot more unemployment to come, and people are going to feel exposed and vulnerable for a good 2 more years.
And if I could tag a couple of other things on to what you just said, not to beat this horse, ladies and gentlemen, but just to point out some of the realities. You know, we've lost institutions, Bill. In the previous six recessions I've been through, we came out of them with the same institutions that we went into the recession with. We're going to come out of this recession without some of the key players that have helped us recover. We're going to come out of this recession with about a third of the jobs that have been lost that won't exist anymore. And so we've got to find replacements for those institutions. We've got to find replacements for those jobs. And that's, I think that's going to make this thing last a little bit longer. Folks, I'm not trying to be negative, but you know me, I try to call it like it is. What do you think, Bill?
I think you're right. I'm the chairman of the Illinois Finance Authority, which is one of the nation's largest state-sponsored public bond issuing agencies. I signed a bill at a bill ceremony yesterday with the new governor of Illinois, who's actually a childhood friend. And this is to take advantage of the economic stimulus package, and it provides up to $3 billion in bonding availability for renewable energy and cutting-edge energy projects, with the primary goal, Jim, being to put jobs and economic growth in place. And speaking to your point, there are jobs we're never going to see again, and these kind of bills are designed to get the new genre of jobs, renewable energy, wind turbines. That's where this is going to go, and it's going to take a while.
Hold on to that thought, Bill. Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back. I want to talk to Bill about that, about the economic recovery program, the stimulus. We're going to talk about that and other political, public policy issues right after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Hey, hey, I belong.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, on the road today, still broadcasting live from Raleigh, North Carolina. But we're not talking about chambers, as I have been in the previous hour. This hour, we got other things going on, including our good friend Bill Brandt, who's with us right now. Bill is talking to us a little bit about the economy and how he sees things. Bill, I want to talk about the government stimulus in a minute, but before we do, off the air, you and I were just talking a little bit about some of the credit situation. You know, this is the big 800-pound gorilla difference between this recovery and all the others that I've been involved in. I don't remember ever there being a time when there was a dearth of credit, where the credit industry was on its heels like it is right now. It's completely flummoxed about where to go, what to do, and whether they're even going to make it or not. I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing with regard to the credit landscape.
You know, I think that, Jim, when we were in high school and all of us had that sort of one course in economics that they tell you have to take, it goes back to the simple concepts we discussed then. The economy is largely built on confidence. And right now there is not a lot of long-term confidence in where this economy goes. There's a great deal of uncertainty with respect to government costs, government spending, where the markets are going to be, what the foreign competition is going to look like, all leading to an element of a lack of predictability. And to be a long-term lender, you've got to know, you know, if it's a 30-year mortgage, you've got to know the house is going to have value in 30 years and the community is going to grow. And that may work because there's collateral for a house. But when you translate that kind of thinking to a business proposition, it's very hard to look, you know, 20 years down the road or even 10 years down the road for most businesses and ensure that they've got a viable product. So,
How about this, Bill? You're a retailer and you're trying to buy product for the holiday season that you just were so dour about earlier, and you need somebody to help you finance that inventory that's going to be coming in.
Unless you're the creme de la creme, unless you're a proven retailer with who can take a hit, for lack of a better way of saying it, forget about it. I mean, sadly, when the government told a number of these banks they had to recapitalize, most of us think of recapitalization in the concept, well, they'll either go back in the stock market or they'll find a Saudi sheik to put some money in. What they're doing some of that, but what they're also doing is pulling in their loans. You know, they're just saying no, as Nancy Reagan would say, and by repatriating a variety of loans, restoring from the back end some of their capital base. I've had deals that we've worked out or had attempted to work out where the fundamentals were very sound. It was obvious that the business could be refinanced, and the lender just said no. And the lender said no, not because of something in the business fundamentals, but because of its own imperatives and what it had institutionally to deal with.
Yeah.
And, of course, when a lender says no, even if it's for their own reasons, not yours, once one lender says no, it's very much of a catching cold these days on Main Street. Nobody's going to touch you, even if you have an explanation. It's very, very difficult.
Of all the things that Bill talks to us about, folks, the thing he's talking about right now is the one thing that is his wheelhouse. It's the area that he's the most proficient at. Bill, one of the good news, if there is good news for small businesses, is there are multiple options for us. If one bank turns you down, there are other banks out there. I mean, especially independent community banks, even credit unions are really ramping up their interest in small businesses out there. What do you think?
I absolutely believe that. I also think that you've got to get creative. I mean, the idea that you can simply call up your regional bank and say, I'd like a loan, and make it an 88 according to the standard terms, those days, at least for the time being, are probably suspended. You've got to find interesting and intriguing ways to get your business financed. You need to think about credit enhancement, as we say, or that is additional collateral, how you can provide some assurance to the bank, perhaps over and above what you normally do. You have to stretch for it. Now, you know, everybody gets really worried about that, because if you provide additional collateral, you tie up more assets. But when times get good, you're just going to have to sharpen your bargaining stick and get some of that back. But for now, hunker down and get through. Do what it takes.
When he says sharpen your bargaining stick, folks, what he's talking about is make sure that if you have to add new collateral, that there is a collateral release element in your mechanism in your contract, that when certain things are paid, when you pay down to a certain level, they release certain collateral. Because if you don't put that in there, even your brother, if your brother's a banker, if you don't put that in there, he's not going to release the collateral.
And one of the other tricks we've been using, Jim, and trick is probably the wrong word for it, but performance-based criteria. If you've told your lender you're going to do something, and they raise an eyebrow, but they ask for extra collateral, but then you go ahead and do it. You hit a sales, you achieve a sales volume, you hit an EBITDA volume, you get inventory liquidations down to a certain ratio or inventory carries. Have some trigger release mechanisms in your documents that are mileposts along that. It shouldn't just be that you paid down the loan. It also should be that you did what you said you were going to do. You performed, and that in itself is an installation of confidence and should give them some idea that you're capable of producing what you said you could.
Right, right. Bill, we got a minute before we go to a break. I want to set you up for the health care issue. The president and the leaders in Congress are all in at the healthcare debate, healthcare reform debate poker table. They're all in. They pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, I think and the sheer weight of that has made the table sag in the middle and it may collapse. I'm a staunch Democrat, and some of your listeners may now turn their dial down after they hear that, but I've been in Democratic politics for 30 years. I am not enamored of where this is going. This, to me, has an eerie similarity to what we tried to do in the early 90s, which even though I'm a strong and long-term supporter of Hillary, and I thought that some of that had merit, I see the same hash problem evolving where people just don't understand what they're supposed to be thinking about.
Right, or how to pay for this.
Well, nobody can explain.
I'm going to hold on to that thought, because I got to go to a break, because we have to pay for some other things, and our local affiliates have to do the same thing. We'll take a quick break. It's 10 till. Right back with Bill Brand. He and I are going to wrap up this discussion on. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on healthcare, folks. I think you might be. I know you're going to be interested in hearing what he thinks and some other issues. Right after these messages, 10 till. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Bill Brandt. He's the president of DSI, Development Specialist Incorporated. Bill, give us your website, please.
It's www.dsi, the initials David Sam Indiana, .biz, B-I-Z.
So check it out. Lots of good stuff there. You got lots of articles you guys have written, some things that will help small business owners understand a little bit more about the national and the global economy, you've got a lot of good stuff up there about how to work your way out of trouble too.
We do. There's no magic wand, but we've got a pretty good selection of stuff on the website, and I always encourage people to browse if they want. It should help.
Check it out, dsi.biz. Bill, I'm going to push all my healthcare reform chips to the middle of the table. Uh-huh. I hope that we get nothing signed. I hope there is no bill. I don't want any kind of legislation to pass, and here's why. Because if it does, the way it's currently oriented, even with certain compromises, it will not help small businesses. It will complicate small businesses, because the things that could reform healthcare that would be good for small business and the country are not even on the table. They're not even being debated, like allowing every small business, regardless of how they're oriented, how they're structured, to be able to deduct their health care insurance premiums, to allow them to buy insurance across state lines, to focus on just helping the people who are uninsured, not redoing the entire system and 1/6 of our economy just to get 10 or 15 million people insured. That's the reason why my chips are all in for no bill. What do you think?
I think the operative line you used was under the current conditions. I would be for some legislation right now. I would not be for what is presently sitting there like a large piece of manure on a doorstep, which nobody can describe. But you know, here in Illinois and in other states just recently, over the last year, a bill was passed that said, look, a lot of kids don't have jobs right after college or right after high school. And you know, the insurance companies normally boot them off of the family policy at 21. We're passing a law that says that if the business owner or the employee wants to, he can keep his kids up to 25 or 26 on his insurance policy. Mm-hmm. You know, if we went incrementally right now and we said, look, a lot of kids aren't getting jobs anywhere, and if they're presently covered on some insurance policy, rather than mandatory deduction, you know, subtraction, they're on until they're 30 or until they get married or get a job, I'd go with that. I'd go with the deductions you're talking about for health insurance for small businesses in a heartbeat. And there's mm-hmm. several other incremental things I do which simply makes sense. Portability, which is what you talk about, state lines.
Absolutely.
That's an issue that the insurance companies aren't fond of, pre-existing conditions. You could legislate that, and you could simply say, look, there's a pool, you know, pre-existing conditions. The government will provide some form of reinsurance to the carrier, but you can't rule people out. We could get there incrementally and start.
But you'd have to change some philosophical
positions. Oh, there's no doubt about
because the people who are in charge right now don't want to see market solutions. They want to see government solutions.
Well, the problem we have is that, you know, everybody's—it's like the poker game you're discussing. Everybody wants to win the pot. It seems to be all or nothing. And why, over the last 4 or 5 years, rather than talking about the all or nothing thing, we couldn't have been taking it with each Congress one or two of these incremental steps, which would have measurably improved the process, which would have had people buy into the fact that your health care isn't going to change that much, and we're going to tinker with this until we get it right. And you know, and we might acknowledge, look, there may be people who fall through the system. We're not going to get everybody. It's going to be better than it was, but there is no architecture for nirvana. It doesn't exist in society, in life, or in health care.
Right.
You know, we could also do a little bit more. The University of Chicago, for example, has been criticized for this, but they have a wonderful hospital, and they were every Friday and Saturday night they were inundated with at their emergency room because they were the managed health care for the neighborhood for default reasons. They went out and they tried to provide small clinics and push people away from their emergency rooms, not because they didn't want to treat them, but because they couldn't have what amounted to be a scrum every Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
And the neighborhood reacted a bit diffidently to that, but as it's worked out, it's beginning to work out well. If they can get these people earlier, get them to small health care walk-in centers throughout the neighborhood to prevent the Friday night.
See, now you're talking about logical, sensible,
absolutely,
market-based, community-based solutions.
Haven't our legislators just started on an incremental basis, taking the best and brightest ideas?
Because I think they're actually not capable of it for some reason. Hey, Bill, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Thanks for giving us some great thoughts and some good information. We look forward to having you back again already.
Always,
Bill Bradley.
Jim.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.